Good morning. I've just come from the annual sessions from Mennonite Church Canada, which met in Vancouver, and it's actually over this morning, but we came home last night. And in 2 years, they will meet here in Winnipeg. The theme of the assembly that was just finished in Vancouver was called Dusting Off the Bible for the 21st Century. So when you said dusting the Bible, I thought you were quoting the theme of the conference. Some of our best biblical scholars in Canada, Sheila Clausen-Weeb, Tom Yoder Neufeldt, and Gerald Gerbrandt, shared with us their best insights on why they thought that both society in general and the Mennonite Church in particular, the Bible has faced a decline in importance and in use. They also shared why they felt at this moment what it would do to was give us an opportunity to look with fresh eyes to the Bible. And the assembly worked at how we could deal with the issues facing us these days, and that you will hear about this more in the fall, with both paths to go on to understand the Bible and ditches to avoid. We will use the material developed from these directions in the coming year, and we see this getting renewed way of looking at the Bible as preparation to work anew for our understanding of issues such as sexuality in the coming years, or an issue such as Christ's claims in the midst of religious pluralism. How can we look at the Bible with fresh eyes for issues like this? You will be invited to be involved in smaller groups to give feedback to the wider church. In the first year, on the tools of scriptural discernment this winter, and then after revising the tool, to look at some of the issues I mentioned with that tool in the following 3 years. Every age has faced issues confronting it, and our hymns have always reflected this as well. Our worship leader, when given the opportunity, was told to choose one hymn for a theme today. And she couldn't. So she offered me two hymns that are from very different centuries and contexts. And yet for me, that is the beauty of the Christian story, right there. While an Irish person living in London versified the hymn text of Be Thou My Vision, the text's origin is actually from the 8th century. And I always get chills and goosebumps when we sing a hymn that has that kind of, where the text has that kind of history. Be Thou My Vision comes from an age very different in some senses from today. The average person didn't live to be 45 years old at that time in Ireland. Between sickness and violence, living to what we would call a ripe old age was not most people's fate. Although by the 18th century mostly Christian, or sorry, by the 8th century, Ireland was mostly Christian, the Christianization of Ireland was unique and in many ways took on different forms in Ireland than it did in the rest of Europe. There is now something that we actually call Celtic or Celtic spirituality, which did influence the way the Christian story was received and practiced in Ireland. There was a greater emphasis in the Irish Christian community on what we call God's immanence, God's being inside of us, than was the case in Western Europe. God wants to dwell within us, Scripture teaches, and the Irish took this very much to heart. But what was clear in the Irish understanding of the Christian story, that God was in the form of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and wanted to love us. You called it a love song. I hadn't heard the reference before that way. God wants to love us, cherish us, and heal us. Very much a part of Celtic Christian understanding. Even in the midst of difficult times of life, of which there were many. And Irish Christians were full of using many pictures to describe God. And they went to pictures that were somewhat outside of the Bible, and many that were in it. And this hymn does not lack in those pictures. The author invites God to be certain things in the Christian life. Be thou my vision, Lord of my heart. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Thy presence, my light. But also, be thou my wisdom, my true word. Celtic Christians placed a great deal of emphasis on wisdom, more than we do in this era. But there are Christians among us who are again looking at the wisdom from the Bible, books like Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and parts of the Psalms, in a new way, which hasn't been done as often in recent centuries, but has always been there in Celtic Christianity. Be thou my buckler. Not a word is familiar to us, and we perhaps shy away from the military image as the writer describes it. My sword for the fight. The fight here is clearly the spiritual battle that each one of us wages to stay grounded in Christ. And in a world where the average person dignity was lacking, the poet asks God to be his dignity. And in this world where the average Irish had very few possessions, to sing, riches I need not, though my inheritance, thou my inheritance. In other words, I don't need riches here. God is my inheritance. Again, you can see the love song aspect of it. The two references in the last two verses to High King are unusual to us. High King of Heaven was a term parallel to the Irish term High King. There were many princes of local areas in Ireland, and by the 8th century there developed one who was higher than the others, and they called him the High King. So when the Christians were invited to sing High King of Heaven, it was a term they knew right away. We might substitute Queen, which would be more technically correct, but how would this sound if we sung that God is our Prime Minister, my treasurer thou art? It's a picture that would be closer to what they felt. Would that better help us understand the imagery? Perhaps, perhaps not. But while in the end acknowledging the High King of Heaven, the writer wants us to experience God as heart of my heart. So again, the love song, for sure. Our text from James 5, that practical Christian book that Martin Luther called an epistle of straw, but was a favorite among many of our forebears, the Anabaptists, speaks of the normal suffering that all of us experience in different ways and at different times, and gives us practical advice on the healing ministry of the church. Those suffering should pray. The cheerful should sing songs of praise. And we're certainly doing that this morning, the songs that Lenny has chosen. And then there is the reference to the sick. They are to call the elders of the church to pray and anoint them with oil. There were three founding denominations for this blue hymnal that we use in our congregation. As is in the case of our Sunday school curriculum, the same three groups. What was called, used to be called the Mennonite Church, and used to be called the General Conference Mennonite Church, but a third group we know less about called the Church of the Brethren. The first two, since the printing of the hymnal, have merged and then redivided on the lines of Canada and the United States, and so we're now Mennonite Church Canada and Mennonite Church USA. But the third group that we are less familiar with, primarily because it only exists in the United States and not in Canada, is called the Church of the Brethren. It is a 19th century German movement that came to the same central conviction that Mennonites did, that to follow Jesus, even unto death, they and we agree that we cannot lift swords against those created in God's image, and that we choose to die rather than to kill. What they bring to us Mennonites as a greater emphasis, however, is on the healing ministry of Jesus. And what this text suggests, Brethren churches have a long history of healing services as part of their worship, much in the manner described here in the passage. It is a service of dignity, and it is very different from the faith healers you might have seen on TV or even gone to see from on occasion, some of you who are older. Many Mennonite churches have in recent decades experimented with this, including a number of churches that I have served with. And some have instituted a healing service on a regular basis, perhaps once a year or twice a year. Unlike the faith healers, there is no insistence in this kind of a service that God produce a miracle cure for what our physical or mental or spiritual illness is. It is a call to God to heal us, not necessarily to cure us, though we do not count that out as part of what God might do. Our hymn, one of several written by Marty Hagen in the hymnal, was written for that type of healing service in an ecumenical healing center, healer of our every ill. Hagen at first served several Catholic churches, but now is the chief musician of the United Church of Christ in the United States. It was originally written for a soloist or small group to sing the verses while the congregation sings the chorus, but congregations across denominations have increasingly sung the whole hymn. In two churches where I've used this hymn for a sermon series on emotions and feelings, walk through the hymn, and the number is 377, if you want to have a look, because I'll make some references to it. Even the chorus introduces us to peace, fear, hope, and sorrow. Note that the negative emotions, fear and sorrow, are not dismissed, but there is a prayer for peace beyond our fear, not instead of it or negating it, and there is hope instead of our sorrow, or beyond our sorrow, not instead of, but beyond our sorrow. But in the verses that follow, feelings come tumbling out. Fear, sadness, peace, gladness, pain and joy beholding, grace and moving from the more physical, the first ones are more physical, give us strength to love each other, every sister, every brother. God, you know our thoughts and feelings. Teach us all your way of healing. And we have much to be healed of, even in our own lives. The strength to love each other hints at it. What prevents us from loving each other? Envy, strife, disagreement over the direction of a church, work conflicts, strife between siblings, between spouses, or between adult children and their parents whose lives have diverged. This is the invitation that James and Marty Hagen invite us to bring to God for healing. One form of such a healing service taken in some Mennonite churches goes something like this. After a sermon on healing by Jesus or in the Bible, as the congregation sings hymns like Healer of Our Every Ill, or a hymn like, Oh, Have You Not Heard of That Beautiful Stream, another wonderful call song for healing. Persons are given a variety of choices in how to participate in healing. One station might be a place to fill glasses of water, to have a symbol of God filling them with living water. Perhaps in two corners of the church, and one a pastor and one a care team member, are available as members come forward and quietly name their request for healing. Only the person and the person praying for them hear it, but everyone else is singing at the same time. It could be for physical healing, for spiritual healing, for healing of a relationship, or perhaps a struggle with an addiction. The pastor anoints the person, as the Bible suggests, with oil and prays for that person as the congregation surrounds with the hymns. Again, this is quiet while the congregation continues to sing. Sometimes another option is put in a separate room some distance away from the sanctuary. This is the most private option, where no one who sees goes in and out, where there would be a basin with water and towels, where a person would wash their hands either asking God for forgiveness for something in their own lives, or perhaps even a releasing of a pain that someone else's sin against them have brought. I would invite discussion sometime in a adult Sunday school class or otherwise whether something like this would be of interest to the congregation. Several others of hymns in the section where this hymn is are healing songs and very common to the Church of the Brethren, is why they're included in the hymnal. And so we learn from each other's traditions, I believe, and grow as we do. But whether we do something like this or not, we are still called to be a healing church. We are still called to pray for each other. We are still called to anoint the sick. We are still called to listen to each other. We are still called to love each other, every sister, every brother. And this is what it means to be followers of Christ. And as a community becomes known as a healing community, believe me, others will hear, and others will want that healing as well. And it becomes an invitation at the doors of the church for others to come for that kind of ministry. Jesus is the healer of every ill, and we are called to be God's agents in this work. May each one of us grow in our own being healed and in how together as a congregation we work at healing the body and one another. Amen.